Show us, O Lord, of thy grace, thy mercy, thy glory. We want to see it. Would you turn with me to John, the 16th chapter? Time is a most unique time on the Mount of Olives. Jesus was giving his last dissertation, his last message to his disciples. Something so important, and he had so much more to say, but he couldn't say it then. And in his last message, he talks to them considerably about the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit that does not speak of himself, but Jesus spoke of him. Jesus told us about him. And like all the words of Jesus, there's a depth in them that doesn't show on the surface. I remember visiting a lake called Crater Lake out in Oregon, way up in the mountains. It has no inlet. It's only fed by the rains and snows. It's a very, very deep lake, one of the bluest lakes. The water is crystal clear. And standing 3 feet from the shore, you can look down and see the bottom. And standing 5 feet, and standing 10 feet, and standing 20 feet from the shore, you can look down and see the bottom. And it will be apparently about 3 feet deep. But don't jump in unless you know how to swim. Because at 20 feet out, it's quite possibly 100 feet deep. And you can still see the bottom clearly. It's amazing, that little lake. Well, there's a pool up in Yellowstone. It's called Morning Glory Pool. Not very big around. But it's hot. Very hot. And that too is a very, very clear, clear water. You can see way down, down, down. But you can't see the bottom. Perhaps it's not more than 20 feet across. Maybe 40, I'd forgotten. But it's a good deal more than 40 feet deep. And with all the clarity of the water, you still can't see the bottom. It goes clear, clear down to the hot, hot flows of lava below. And it's very hot. They call it Morning Glory Pool. The words of Jesus, they so clear you can see right through them, except as you get to looking, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Until really you can't see the bottom. Really you can't find out how deep it really does go. Only until the modern means of finding the depth, did they ever find the depth of Crater Lake. When I was a boy, they didn't know how deep it was. I think they plugged it now at about 6 miles. Way, way, way down. But when I was a boy, no one knew how deep it was. It was so deep. And because it seems so clear, it's quite deceiving, isn't it? And as Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, there's so much that he was telling us. We need to know a lot about that Holy Spirit because, especially in our day, he's been so maligned. He's been so denigrated until he's just really a breath that wiggles your tongue almost about all He is anymore. Well, yes, He is God, and if you work it right, He'll even do some miracles for you. In fact, if you hold your mouth right, you might even crank out a prophecy. And of course, that's all true. He does give the gifts, and He does move through us, and He does speak in tongues. Or rather, He'll give us the tongues to speak with. But He's so much more than that, isn't He? So much more than that. And Jesus, when He told us about that, those weren't the things He felt was most important. Those weren't the things He mentioned, were they? Jesus, in His talking about the coming Spirit, didn't mention prophecy, and He didn't mention healing. He didn't mention the gifts. But He did mention some other things. I won't go back and repeat, but remember we're in John 16 now, and one of the things He told us that when He would come, He would convince or convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. The great convincer and convictor of man's heart. The only one that can take words of salvation that come into the ears and take them clear down into the heart and soul of man. The only one that can bring that strange feeling, those strange stirrings, those strange upheavals, those strange, almost tormenting storms of conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. He was the one that could do all that. That wonderful Holy Spirit. Jesus gave Him that name of the Holy Spirit, didn't He? But He gave Him another name, and we looked at that several weeks ago. We're going to look at it again now, for we're in the 13th verse of the 16th chapter of John. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. That word guide means show you the way. And it's as if, the word is used as if you're going into a new country. We've done lots of traveling, and once in a while we went on a tour because it was something we couldn't go alone. And so we'd have a guide. We had a guide. Well, we didn't join a tour, but we joined a tour that was there. In the Vatican, there were so many things we didn't know, so we listened to someone that did know. If it was something we didn't want to listen to, we'd go on and join another tour. There are plenty of them. And listen to that guide. Or when we went into the catacombs. Oh, there you better have a guide. It'd be very, very easy to get lost. Dark it is, a labyrinth of little tunnels going everywhere. In fact, they've not all been searched out yet. There's miles and miles of those little tunnels. Burial places they were. They would have meetings. They weren't very large meetings because there weren't very large places. At the intersection of tunnels would be a place maybe a dozen or two could get together. Little tiny lamps. We saw the lamps there. Still there. Left in little niches. They're about that round and about that deep. It wouldn't last very long, I wouldn't think. But you better have a guide to show you the way. Because you really get mixed up. Jesus said this, one of the works of the Spirit of truth was to guide you. Now, that's kind of humbling. After all, God gave me a good brain, even if it is pea size, even if it is human. But look how well it served me. Yes, yes, I know it has. But there's a deception when it comes to truth. There's a depth. There's a depth to it that we can easily pass by. More than one person in Crater Lake has drowned because they were deceived. In fact, there's some pretty stringent rules there now. The water is so clear, it doesn't look deep. But 3 feet out from the shore, it's over your head and well over, and it looks about 6 inches deep. The water is so clear and deceptive. We need a guide. Jesus is the way. The Holy Spirit is the guide. He's the one that will show you the way. He's the one that will take your hand and lead you in the way. We need that. He will guide you. He will show you the way. And He will guide you into all truth. And after all, Jesus is the truth, isn't He? He said, I am truth. I am the truth. I am the way. And so He's going to come, He said, and He's going to guide you into all truth. Now, the devil couldn't do that because there's no truth in him, Jesus said. He's full of lies. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. All the devil can deal with is facts. And there's such a difference between facts and truth. And until we really understand that, we can really get deceived. The devil will feed us facts. Our little brains will feed us facts. But truth is so much greater than facts. When man began to go into space with his little machines, whirlybirds around the earth, and some of them going up to visit a planet or two, all of the wonderful facts of Euclid's geometry suddenly wouldn't work. They had to get a new system of mathematics. Why, even our airplanes. We'll be going to England next week from Monday. Now, everybody knows that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. From here to England, that's the longest distance. Or longer distance. So they fly up around the north. Take what they call a polar route. And it's shorter. It's a curve. But believe it or not, because of the shape of the earth, it's shorter, isn't it? And there's so many things that are like that they're facts, but they're not truth. And that's why people miss God and miss the ways of God. He says, your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. And we need the Holy Spirit. We need Him to take us and show us the way and guide us into all truth. In spite of the fact that those disciples lived with, walked, and talked with Jesus, they needed the Holy Spirit to come and tell them what the whole life and death of Jesus was all about. In fact, we would miss a great deal if all we had was the four Gospels, if there were no epistles or no further revelation. But the Holy Spirit came and showed us what really the Gospels and the Old Testament was all about, didn't He? As He pointed out that Christ was not just a sad criminal on a cross, mistakenly hung there by Pilate, but finally God in His mercy rose him again from the grave and took him back home. We don't see much about redemption, do we? We don't see much about all the wonderful truths that we live by until the Holy Spirit came and guided us. And now look, this is what Jesus was all about. This is what Jesus came for. This is what Jesus was doing all the time. And he took us to Jesus and showed us. Oh, he showed us so much about him. He is a spirit of truth. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man he should lie. Neither the Son of Man. And he spoken, shall he not do it? Can't we trust his words? The devil's a liar. And somehow it seems like most people are related to him some way, doesn't it? Oh, I know you are sons of God, but I mean outside, of course. Some people are related to him, aren't they? And sometimes I kind of doubt inside. Because I find this old heart of ours is a bit deceptive. Have you ever found that? God tells us our heart is the most deceitful thing, doesn't he? Desperately wicked. Deceitful above all things, and who can know it? We can't even trust our own hearts. I know people say, well, I've got the Spirit. I don't need anybody to help me. Well, I need all the helps I can get. That's still not enough. Because when I say I have the Spirit to guide me, I'd like to point out to you that it's not just because the Spirit has come, it's automatic that you'll know truth. He has to guide you into truth. Now, when I was going with a guide, I learned one thing. You don't stand very far away or you're not going to hear what's being said. And if you stand too far away, you can get lost in some of the things. It wouldn't be hard to get lost at all. Where there's a mass of people, you'd lose your guide, you'd lose your tour. That wouldn't be difficult at all, especially in a Vatican where there's, well, probably about 500,000 people going through all at once at a time. Somewhat exaggerated, but it seems like that. It'd be easy to get separated. So you stay right up close to your guide. And I learned something else. That there'd be, as we were walking along, there'd be a lot of tidbits would only be heard by the first maybe 5, maybe 8 people that were in the line. The rest of them were too far back to hear. And he'd stop and raise his voice and tell us about things. But going through, there'd be a lot of little tidbits that if you're close enough, you could hear. Otherwise, you just capture the big things. So my wife and I learned, if we're taking a guide, to stay close to a guide. He will guide you into all truth, but not when you're 0.5 mile away. Not when you're lagging far behind. Not when fellowship has been broken. Not when you've said, I want to go over here and look at this pretty thing. And the guide says, no, that's not worth it. We'll go over here. And you say, oh no, I want to see this. And so off you go on your own little direction. Or maybe you'll see something pretty. Maybe you'll fall down and wish you hadn't seen something pretty. But either way, you're disconnected. And you're not going to hear what the guide is telling you, are you? You're not going to be listening. He will guide you into all truth. Well, how does he do that? Well, I find, first of all, that he brings gifts of light from the Father. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. And he enlightens me. He enlightens a word. He enlightens a song. He enlightens a prayer. He enlightens a scripture. Have you ever had him do that for you? Oh, surely you have. Surely you have. He brings light to it. That's how he guides you into all truth. Maybe you're reading your Bible. You've already read 10 verses. At the same time, you're calculating how much, if you had enough money to, in your purse to go down and take the bus tomorrow. Or at the same time, you're calculating if you had enough gas to go to church tonight. We had to stop and get some. Isn't it amazing what we can do while we're reading the scriptures? Or you can do some of your best meditating on foreign subjects. I think there might be a little help there sometimes. But anyway. And then the Holy Spirit, in grace sometime, will just come down and stop you and say, look. And sure enough, there's a verse that's all for you. It just fits up with what happened day before yesterday. And it begins to tie some things together, and you've got some enlightenment in your life. I have found that one of the best times to read the scripture is after you've had a good time of prayer and pressed into his presence, and he's very close to you. Then you pick up the scriptures, and he seems to point out tidbits in every little verse that you go by. In fact, I've had times I couldn't get through a chapter in an hour because the hour was too short. Not the chapter too long. There were just so many nice things all through it. He'd point them out. But I also found if I was busy doing this and busy doing that and running hither and running thither and all occupied with the things of life, and my time's almost slipped by, oh, I must read my Bible. I'll get in there and I'll quick get it out and open it up and flip the pages and start reading. Well, I might hit the high spots. But all the pretty places between I won't find. I'm not close enough to him. I'm not close enough to the guide to hear all the wonderful things he'd like to say. Or perhaps is saying, I'm just not hearing. He will guide you. He will give you light on your pathway. He will give you truth. I find that so often, he makes it so easy to worship the Lord in the Spirit and truth. Because he'll bring light to a truth that will just make it so flare up in beauty and glory. That's the easiest thing in the world to worship. Just easy to worship. Has he ever come and put his light and put his inspiring breath upon some song as you were singing it, and all of a sudden it was easy to worship? Because that song was truth to you. Well, that's how I was converted. Bored to death. I'd prayed myself out dozens of times, hadn't gotten any place. And I was bored as usual. I was 19, so I was out plowing. And the old horses, you know, they're not a tractor. They just go their own way. You can let go of the lines. They're trained, and they just go along, and you just sit there. And the plow turns over the sod, and on you go. And after about 4 hours, you're pretty bored. And I was just singing a chorus out of boredom. I don't know how many times I sing it. It sticks in your mind. You know, sometimes the chorus goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Sometimes it's hard to stop. And it was one of those choruses going on and on and on and on and on until one moment the Holy Spirit came and said, look what you're singing. And it all came alive. And faith and truth and light were all there at once. And in a moment, I crossed that great abyss from darkness to light. Just because he came by and said, look what you're singing. He's a guide. Now, I'd been singing that at least an hour, and I didn't see anything wonderful. I didn't see a bridge in there that would cross that terrible chasm that led right down into hell and my feet almost sliding over. I didn't know that chorus was my bridge. I'd run over it the hour before, or a day before, or a year before. No, I didn't know that. It took that guide to point it out to me. And then every word was a solid plank in that bridge that led me across. He's the guide that will lead us into all truth. How we need him. We need him so much more than we. Sometimes we think we just need him when trials come. Problems and temptations come. Then I need him. But I discovered there's a lot of times I need him that trials and temptations aren't there at all. But he's a guide that will lead you into all truth. He will lead you in the way. Years ago, I discovered I need him in the most prosaic manners. I was driving home from a funeral. I was driving about the mountain roads that were graveled in those days. And this was a good 40 years ago, 40 some years ago. And I was driving along through the mountains around the curves. It was a pretty drive. A nice, beautiful ravine off to my right. Little stream down there in the green. It was a beautiful drive. And I was driving along, sort of singing, and all of a sudden the Spirit was there. Said, you'd better get over on the other side of the road. Wrong side, if you please. Oh, I can't do that. And the impulse was very strong. Get over to the other side of the road. In a blind curve. Get on the wrong side. And I was, why am I feeling that way? This was all taking place real rapid. And all of a sudden I knew why. There was going to be a drunk man driving. And he was going to come around on my side. And I'd better be out. So I took that blind curve. I didn't slow down. I took that blind curve on the inside, on the wrong side. It was going around to the left, and I took the left. Right in the heart of it, here came the drunk man, just buzzing right around on my side. But we passed nicely. And on we went. I learned a long time ago, I need him when I don't even know I need him. I need him all the time. He'll guide you into truth. Now, facts, that was not facts. It isn't facts to drive on the wrong side of the road in a blind curve. But it was truth and life and light. And the Holy Spirit is wonderful. But you see, we have to learn to live close to him. We have to establish a pattern of walking close to the guy. Didn't Jesus say, abide in me, I in you? As we walk close, you'll be surprised at the many ways he will guide you into truth. Ways you never would dream of. But right ways. He is our guide. And he will guide us. That's what he was sent for. He will not lie to us. Even if he tells you something that seems totally wrong, it will be right. For that's what he came to do, isn't it? He is that wonderful guide that will guide us into all truth. But that means, of course, I must have a hearing ear. I remember one time in Argentina, the pastor that I wasn't interested in visiting, came and wanted me to visit his church. And I wasn't interested in visiting his church. And I very casually and blithely said, well, if the Lord tells me to go, I'll go. And convinced him that if the Lord wanted it, I would go. But if the Lord didn't want it, I wouldn't go. And left it at that, and the conversation went to other things. And then he left. And it was a short while after that, it was time for my prayer. And I got in with the Lord, and he began to speak to me. He called it all back to me. He said, son, if you're going to live that way, you better be sure you've got a hearing ear. And I suddenly realized there's a lot of times he talked to me that I hadn't heard a word. And if I was going to take that stand that I'll go if God tells me, then I better be sure I'm listening. Because he might tell me and I didn't hear. Then I'd be in disobedience, wouldn't I? Showed me I was entirely too casual. Entirely almost, I might better use the word, flippant. But that he will guide us. And he will lead us. And he will make a way for us. He will guide us into all truth. And with whichever form that truth will take. Whatever aspect of truth. Whatever way. But how important it is that we have a hearing ear and know what he's saying to us and knowing just how he's going to say it to us. He will enlighten us. He will inspire us. He will speak to us in many ways. He will clarify things. Sometimes he'll wait. And he'll do it in many ways. Sometimes he'll just whisper into your heart. Sometimes he will have a little child give you a great truth. Why, he even might use a preacher once in a while. Or a song. Or a scripture. Or a friend. One thing we can't do is say, God, I want you to guide me to truth, and I want you to guide me this way. Because he might want to guide me another way. I want you to speak to me in that manner. But he might not want to speak in that manner. But one thing for sure, if I walk close to him, then I will hear what he wants to say, won't I? And however he wants to speak it. How important it is to walk close to the guide. How important it is that we draw near. And we don't let the things of earth, shall I say, the things of life, take us away from that close walk with God. We need to walk close to him. As we walk close to him, he'll be that guide that will lead us into all truth. And truth is light. Truth is light. And that light, oh, how we need that light that comes into our darkness and dispels it. In the darkness of our minds, in the darkness of our hearts, in the darkness of our understandings. As Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. And it's his spirit that will flash that truth and that light into our heart. And then I see it. And then I know it. And then I'll understand it. And then it will be beautiful to us. It will be wonderful. I'll find hidden beauties. Beauties I didn't even know were there. We were walking through the Luray Caves up in Virginia. And there's beautiful things there. We expected to find them. Stalactites, stalagmites, beautiful colors and all kinds of nature's handiwork. They were beautiful. But then we got to a place, a big cavern that was filled with all kinds of these mineral growths, hanging from the ceiling, growing up from the floor. And then we saw something so out of place, so completely out of place, of all things, an electric organ, sitting right there in the middle of that big cavern. But there was a hidden beauty. He went and turned on a switch, and you know what? Little rubber hammers, as they touched the keys, would strike those carefully selected stalagmites and stalactites. And so the most unusual, beautiful, bell-like music filled that cavern. Deep tones and high tones, glorious tones of all kinds. But our guide had to show us about it. We'd never seen that. We'd never dreamed that that wonderful, beautiful music was there. We'd never known a thing about it. We'd walk by and say, yeah, I see it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've been there. Some would say, have you seen the beauty of those kids? Oh, yeah, I've been there. Do you remember that big stalagmite right in the middle that grew like a corkscrew? Yes, yes, I remember that. Did you see how beautiful the music was? Music? What do you mean music? Weren't you there? Why, of course, I walked right through it. Didn't you hear the music? Well, I saw an organ there, but didn't you hear the music? No. It took a guide to show that, didn't it? It took someone to know there was a hidden beauty, and I would have never, never seen it. Until they showed it to me. You know, I've done that with the scriptures time after time. I've run right through it, and I've read it once, and I've gone through it again, and I've gone through it again. And sometimes many times, and then that wonderful guy will turn a switch and say, look, isn't that beautiful? I never saw that before. I never knew that was there. And, that fits over there. Well, that makes me, I've always wondered what that other scripture, now I get it all put together. And I have a whole new understanding of things. He's a wonderful guide. We need him. We need that Holy Spirit more than we ever dreamed. That he'll come and show us the beautiful things and the hidden things, the hidden mysteries of scriptures speak of. And you can go through it with your little brain and figure it all out and draw pictures and make a stalagmite like a corkscrew. And when you're all through, you won't know the hidden beauties. But they're there. They're there. And your guide can turn it on and make it beautiful. Father, I thank you tonight that your Spirit's come to us. How we need you. How we need you. There's no time we don't need you. In life itself, in prayer, in worship, in church, at home, in the scriptures, understanding life itself, the vicissitudes of life, the mysteries of life. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to stand that? Why couldn't it be that way? Why couldn't it be another way? All the mysteries of life. And then you come down and say, see, that's why. You see what happened? Can you look back now and see why you had to walk that path? Why I had to take you that way? Oh, yes, I understand now, Lord. I understand now, Lord. I need you so, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I need you. I just plain need you. How can I ever get through without you? How can I know the path? It's a labyrinth. And all kinds of people say, this is the way, this is the way. Go here, go there, join here, join that. Follow this light, follow that light. Till I'm in total confusion. And then you come. And sweetly into my heart, you say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And I hear a voice behind me saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And you put light upon my pathway. Thy word is a light upon my pathway. You cause me to know. You cause me to understand. You give me light when I need it. You reveal the hidden beauties of things. You cause me to see things I would have never seen otherwise. You reveal glories to me. Oh Lord, you're the one that opens my eyes, my poor blind eyes. You're the one that opens my ears, my poor deaf ears. You're the one. Oh, how I need you. How I need you, sweet Spirit of God. Come, Holy Spirit. I need you. Come, Holy Spirit. I need you. Come, sweet Spirit. Spirit, I pray. Come in thy grace and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way. Are you walking close to him? Are you close so you can get all the tidbits? Are you close so you can hear the beautiful things he wants to tell you? Are you listening so he can give you the hidden beauties? Are you walking close to that guide? Or would you have to say, I'm kind of in the rear guard. I'm walking behind. Oh, maybe not dragging my feet, but just slow. I'm willing to let others be up in the front row. Or have you gone down a side trail? And that wonderful presence is not even close to you now. Oh, that would be terrible. Terrible. Come, Holy Spirit. I need you. Can you say that? Can you understand that? Do you understand how much you need him? Can you understand how much you need to walk close to him? Be filled with the Spirit, the scriptures say. Be filled. Let him just fill you up and lead you every day, all during the day, feeding you from that everlasting fountain.